Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Paranormal Collaboration, where true paranormal investigators come together. Real topics, real people, real truth. With your hosts, Bill and Chris Reed.
Hey, good Monday evening. You are listening to Paranormal Collaboration with your host, Bill Reap, and myself, Chris Reap. And with us, of course, is our beautiful, wonderful, one-of-a-kind producer, Ms. Amy Green, formerly of New Orleans. And it is Monday. How's everyone doing tonight?
Oh, it's great. It's Monday, and we're traveling. This is Paranormal Collaboration on the road.
Yeah. And we were on the road today, a good 6-hour drive. And we have settled in for the evening, other than doing the show and then some swimming and some hot tubbing and a little sleep and another 6 hours.
We need a little rest after what an incredible weekend.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
In Shepherdsville, Kentucky at Mid-South, Keith Age. Great job. You know, it was wonderful to see a lot of people that we have not seen in a long time.
Oh, it's been a while.
You know, like Joe Chin, it was great to hang out with Joe.
Joe's a blast. Always rises to the occasion, man.
if the answer to any question that you do not know tonight is penis. thank you, Scotty Rory. But it's great. It was a great time down there. Beautiful location. Can't wait to go back again next year. It's only going to get bigger and better. The location that they have now for Mid-South is phenomenal. And it was great to see everybody and all the people that came through the doors.
Oh, it was wonderful.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Keith did a great job. It was great to see, Dalen Spratt from Ghost Brothers and Scotty Rorick and Christopher St. Booth and Rachel.
Yeah.
And the Booth children had a blast with
Gabriel. Oh, my God. They were adorable. I shouldn't say adorable. They're a little older than adorable. They were some awesome kids.
Yeah, they were awesome. And it was always good to see Christopher and, if you ever run into Christopher, get a hug. but tonight's guests,
oh my God,
are a power paranormal couple.
They are two of the nicest people in the paranormal field.
Absolutely.
And they are doing so much with the paranormal. You know, where our drive is saving history through the paranormal, they are helping
so many families
who are affected by cancer. And am I on the wrong show?
Yes, you are.
Oh, man.
It's Jay and Marie Yates.
Right.
I didn't get there yet.
I'm on the wrong show.
Yep,
I'm leaving.
It's Jay Marie.
I'm going to sit in the hot tub.
Jay Marie, I apologize already. She's moved Mish. We know for years, California several times, so that's okay. But
I do all the driving.
Yeah, she's a little punchy today. So, they've been on, you've seen them on Travel Channel, Sci-Fi, Destination American, Biography, ABC, NBC, CBS. Their faces have been plastered over every network that you could think of, and probably a few post offices. But, my ghost story, Great Ghost Adventures, Haunted Case Files, and Jay did an episode on Paranormal 911 recently. So,
Scariest Night of My Life. Both of their stories were really, really good. That was really interesting.
So, without further ado, I'd like to welcome Jay and Marie.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Marie. How are you?
I need a nap.
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Amy and I are a little more rested than Chris because Chris, being the control freak that she is driving. And, I had a little nap, so I feel pretty good.
Six hours is stressful.
yeah, we are. We're having a blast.
Oh, it's been so much fun.
Now
we've been following you guys on your guys'
social media, seeing all your guys' stops, locations, everything. So one of these days, hopefully Jay and I can do something like that.
So you know about the hike that Chris and Amy took me on then?
Oh, my word.
Let's just say a 1.5 mile leisurely hike on a marked trail through the woods to see Bigfoot led to 3.5 miles of partly marked trail, washed out, muddy muck, horse shit. We did see Squatch, and then we blazed our own trail because we got lost in the woods.
Dude, that sounds pretty similar to us.
Yes, Amy keeps saying this is how horror movies start.
So the big question is, did you find Bigfoot or no?
We did. We found Bigfoot. We posted a picture of all of us with Bigfoot.
Bigfoot-ish.
No, it was cool. We did find a track.
We did find prints.
And
oh wow, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, when we got here, we heard this story about ghost in the trees, and we were like, oh, a ghost. Oh, we have to talk about this. And the ghost in the trees was not a ghost. It was sightings of Bigfoot that happened on the ranch that we were staying at.
Actually, it's a hot spot for sightings.
One of the top 10 in the country.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm. At one point, Amy heard howling.
Yes, I did. Like three or four times I heard it. And I'm like, I'm sitting there trying to place it. And I'm like, I have no idea what this is. But, I mean, it was pretty loud. So it was cool.
And the first question out of my mouth was, did you record it?
But anyway, hear something that it never have a recorder on.
So right.
This show is not about us.
No, it's not. It is about
Dave.
And it
Dan could be, but Jay Marie Yates. Yes, yes. So, Jay Marie, tell us a little bit about yourself, or we'll tell our audience.
In the short, pretty much, I grew up haunted, so I grew up experiencing paranormal phenomena that I couldn't explain. I saw children in the beginning, and all the ones that I saw were what they looked like at the moments of death. So whether that was by a car accident, drowning, a fire, that's how they would appear to me. So as a kid, I was scared to death. I would go to my parents and constantly, you know, make comments, psychologically evaluated, like I don't know how many times. Came back, I wasn't crazy. My last evaluation was in 05 with the sheriff's office, and I even cleared that one. So I'm still sane, but I still see ghosts. But Marie, she didn't grow up haunted, and she kind of inherited all this crap because to me. But
no,
I gave you full disclosure, though.
You did. I always say that I used to actually have a childhood, like, in the light and sunshine. When I met Jay, he brought me to the dark side.
So much better over here.
It's so much better at the dark side. So, yeah, I didn't really experience anything until I met Jay. So, and that's when I started experiencing things. I think a lot of people, I mean, if you give the open in your mind of actually going out there doing the paranormal and everything like that, you can actually start actually having your own abilities and stuff as well. So I think that's what happened to me after so many years of just...
It opened you up.
It opened me up.
Yeah, but if you talk to Marie, though, when she was a kid, all she ever used to do is go, like, play around, like, in, like, old abandoned supposed haunted houses, haunted bridges, haunted cornfields, railroad tracks.
But see, that wasn't me trying to go to find ghosts or anything like that. It was me going to places that my mom didn't want me to. So this is being bad.
Now I'm sure your mom's real happy now, isn't she?
Well, I try to do anything to get my mom that my mom didn't want me to do. I made sure I did it, you know. She told me not to go into the dark woods. I went into the dark woods.
Did she tell you not to marry me, too, or no?
No, she actually told me to marry you. That's a fun thing.
She had no idea.
Yes,
that's pretty much it. I know you guys were mentioning something about, like, a scariest night of our lives. There was one episode that I did. Marie did one as well, but the one that I did was the first haunting that both Marie, myself, and our family experienced together, which then led to now, what, 16 years of continued hauntings. But that was the very first one together that we kind of had gone through. And Marie was completely oblivious because she
I wasn't open yet.
No, you weren't definitely open to it, you know. But
I still was doubting if I was dating somebody that was a little nuts.
I watched that episode and it was like I can understand how that would have terrified you. Because I mean that was pretty intense.
You know, I do a lot of storytelling shows. Marie and I both do. And that one, actually, I was pretty pleasantly surprised with how it was put together, like as far as accuracy and showing, like, really how it happened. And it was one of those ones where we were kind of, like, not really sure if we wanted to put out there. But it kind of helped complete a story. So if you watch all the television that we've done and let me put it to you in sequence, it tells the whole story from us pretty much picking up from where we started together to where we're at now. But people get, like, really confused when they watch these shows because they're like, I saw you on this one, I saw you on this one, I saw you on this one. Which one happened first? And they kind of have to break it down in a timeline. But pretty much our life is pretty much on TV with all the hauntings.
Yeah.
And then you still have Cops Crew, correct?
Yeah, we still own and operate Crossing Over Paranormal Society. And they're still an active team. We were actually just with them this weekend over at Vulture City, getting prepared for the Paracon and whatnot. But a great bunch of people. And as time has gone by, it's shifted, and people have, you know, gone on to either do their own teams, or they just got out of the paranormal, or they just got too busy. Especially some of the ones that were in law enforcement in the beginning, it's a little too taxing to do overtime plus your regular shift and then go hunt for ghosts at nighttime. So we've lost one of them to one had passed away last year. Our Reverend Paul Lovegrove, unfortunately, he passed away, who was a huge part of kind of helping us alleviate some of the hauntings we had in our home. So he's definitely he was always a key player to Cops Crew. But yeah, we're still managing it. We're still out there. We're still doing stuff. As far as like residential cases, we're not so much like running into residential cases and investigating every claim that we get. With the TV comes a lot of people that just want to be on TV, I guess you could say. And oftentimes people reach out to us with claims that just are not true, or they're a hoax just altogether, and there's no truth whatsoever to it. So we do a lot of like monitoring before we get a hold of cases.
And a lot of these homes, you don't even have to really go in and investigate. As paranormal investigators yourself, you can actually just go and talk to these families instead of actually just going into the house and investigating. I think sometimes going in there and investigating and bringing all your equipment and stuff can actually worsen the family. So I will say a lot of, like, probably 50% of our cases, it's me sitting down with a mom or the children or something in, like, a Starbucks or at the park and just talking and explaining, like, what things you can do to help yourself, actually live with with the dead. Because that's, something we've done it. Jay and I are not going to be the ones that are going to get anything taken out of your house. I'm not going to, that's not my job in a way. We're not ghost removers. We can assist you on living with them. We could certainly get people that maybe can assist on doing that, but we don't really do that.
Pretty much what we found out, like, from most of the residual, I mean, not residual, but most of the residential cases we've taken, mainly they've been, like, there's a huge psychological element to it. So if we can convince families that, like, what they're really seeing is, like, what they really have going on is nothing more than doors slamming and footsteps down the stairs, like, on a psychological level, it kind of changes things for them a little bit. So once you start eliminating some of that fear, it definitely helps decrease the haunting we've found over the years.
You know, that's interesting that you brought it up, looking at it on the psychological level, because, a lot of, what we get into, in residential cases is a lot of psychological. And, yes, there may be some residual type haunting or even an intelligent haunting going on. You know, a lot of times it is a more of a psychological, issue. Where people need to get more help than, any of us could offer.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we create our own demons, you know what I mean? So I'm a firm believer in that. So, I mean, like people, you know, all of a sudden that sound down the hallway and then that shadow that was just a shadow turns into something much darker just based upon their own fears. So whatever they fear most is what they start to see. And it's not to say that they're not having a haunting. But what happened to us probably about 10 years ago, we were on a case and I thought I was like a superstar, man. Like I gave them their audio evidence. I got a photograph and some cool video. And I was like, hey, we got it. And they looked at us and they were like, that's really cool. It's been going on for like 10 years, but now what? And we were like, oh shit. You know what I mean? Like, exactly. Now what? Like, what do we do? I kind of looked at Marie and I'm like, that's a good damn point, you know? So like really what we started to become is the now what? So we spend a lot more time sitting down, talking with them, just putting things, you know, out there as to like breaking things down, their hauntings down to what they're really experiencing and just really showing them not to fear certain things, how to lower that level of fear, how to bring arguments outside the home, things like that, not bringing stuff into the home, energies, things like that. And it's really been, we've been really successful at it.
Plus, if they need to see any other kind of, you know, medical doctoring or anything like that, we will actually, you know, recommend them. We have quite a few people we know that are in that kind of field, so we try to, you know, recommend them.
Yeah, I do social work by day, so, like, we definitely refer sometimes out for welfare checks for, like, elderly people that may be like, yeah, they are having a haunting, and we've documented it, but at the same time, they're alone. And they don't have anybody. So, I mean, I think that paranormal investigators need to look at their approach sometimes more like social work, because the reality is we're dealing with people's lives, and it's not always just the haunting that's causing them the problem. It's that loneliness, that separation from family, their inability to communicate with others, or lack of friends, or, you know, their family members all passed away, or they live in different states. To be that person to talk to and kind of set them up with resources. So we're kind of in a position like that with our team now to where we're able to do that. And I'd love to see more teams doing that and to really get into the root of these problems, because, you know, there's usually a lot more going on than just the haunting.
Absolutely. I always say we're not just a paranormal team that comes in and, you know, locates what's there. We need to have a plan on how to deal with what's there, as well as we're basically counselors for these people. And it's why it's such an important job and can't be taken lightly. These teams who come into the field and they've been, you know, hunting ghosts, they've bought their ghost meter, got in their black t-shirt and their Facebook page, and now they're a paranormal team and we're going to do private residence. And the first thing they go out and do is go to someone's home. They make things worse. I mean, it's a huge responsibility you're taking on when you go into someone's home, because you're affecting their lives. And you need to go in with a whole lot of respect and know what you're doing. And if you don't, you need to know where to get those answers, who to turn to. And, I mean, we go in, we'll research before we go. Who are, where are counseling agencies nearby? Where are parishioners,
right,
or pre-church relations? Where can they get help? And, you know, sometimes you have to go in and say, I'm sorry, honey, you need to get to an AA meeting, or you need to get to something, because sometimes they're just flat up, they want attention, or they want to be on a TV show, and they hope that your team will get you there. But a lot of time, most of the cases are people who truly want help, and we have to go in and we have to ask very personal questions. So we have to be responsible with that information that they give us, that doesn't get disclosed to anyone. And on our team, it's only available to one or two people.
No, that's great. And that's one hell of a way of doing things. That's for sure. And more teams should follow behind that, and you guys leading as examples, because it is something that's just strongly lacking in the field altogether. And I think that I remember back in the early 2000s when Marie and I were going through a haunting, and I was kind of a ghost hunter. I was kind of like, didn't know what the hell I was doing, so I couldn't really do anything. I was like, yeah, that's a ghost. But like, we've reached out to like multiple paranormal teams locally, and they all came back to us and said, what you have going on is something that we think that we are incapable of helping you with. And I was so pissed off that I got turned down by the clergy, by all these paranormal teams that I reached out to. Back then I was upset, but now as an experienced ghost hunter with years under my belt and gone through numerous types of hauntings, I look back at that and I go, wow, how responsible was it of them to turn me down for an investigation? Because they could have made things worse. They could have made things a whole hell of a lot worse. And it's like you live and you learn, and that's just one thing we've been starting to talk about just this past couple of years is how thankful we were that people didn't come help us out, because it would have hindered us possibly and brought us further away from the help that we needed. But it's like, you know, people always – they put too much emphasis on the ghost hunting part, and sometimes it's a lot more to it than just that.
Yeah, when it comes to private residence, it's more about the people in the home that are being affected.
Yes.
Because everything we do affects their lives.
Right. No, absolutely. And I mean, and that's a huge responsibility we have as investigators in the field, is that, you know, you give the wrong type of information, or you don't represent the truth clearly enough, and you leave a person's home and someone decides to hurt themselves or others. I mean, you were the last person there. You don't think that you're not going to get a phone call? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, there's legal obligations that we have, whether you're just a mom-and-pop ran paranormal team or an LLC. You need to be making sure that you're being responsible and making responsible choices and answering questions in a responsible way, not to scare families, especially families that already have mental health issues that could lead to suicide.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah, Jay Marie, we have two questions from the chat room. I'm going to ask the first one first. Have you ever encountered an entity which identified itself as a religious leader, whether a priest or a rabbi or a minister?
Have you had? You want to answer that?
I never have had any, like, anything religious. I mean, not nothing like that. Like, no religious. I mean, I don't know about you. I know you see a lot more. I hear.
Only thing I can recall as a child, for a brief time, I went to a Catholic school in the summertime, and I would constantly see this robed priest that nobody else would see. So made me a little bit more awkward than the non-Catholic guy that was at the Catholic summer school. But it never identified itself as such, just by pure of what it looked like and what it was wearing was, like, you know, terrifying to me because no one else saw it. And I was kind of terrified of Catholicism back then because it scared the shit out of me a little bit.
The next question in there is, have you ever during an EVP session or any type of, you know, questioning, asked an entity what religion they were?
Oh, yeah, that's a pretty common question that we ask, you know, when dealing with especially residential, when we're trying to see what help might be needed, because we need to understand that, like, not all ghosts are like Christians, you know what I mean? And ghosts are people too, right? So there's a whole variety of religions and different groups that people belong to in life. So that's definitely one of those general questions that we ask during EVP sessions. Yes, we have had responses and response to that question and whether they were Christian or not Christian or other religions. Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that we've been doing.
We do that a little bit more, I think, identifying the person. So if you actually can identify a little bit more about it, I mean, I think you can assist them a little bit more. So, I mean, and that's one thing I will say about Jay and I mean, we can, I mean, we both believe in God, but doesn't mean, I mean, we didn't.
I think our interpretation of God is much different than a lot of people. But
well,
yeah,
but I mean, I won't call myself a Christian. I just say I believe in God. I have faith in God. But I will say, I mean, I have a lot. And like our team, we have Wiccans and Buddhists. I mean, we have all that kind of stuff on our team just so we can stay alerted and educated of all the other different religions.
That's a really good question, because I mean, I know in the beginning of crossing over Paranormal Society, like, I was a narrow-minded idiot, and honestly, everyone on the team, they were all law enforcement, military, first responders, and almost everybody was, you know, a Baptist type Christian. And it's not that that's bad, but what I realized was is that Satanists need help too, and we got plenty of call from a group such as that were saying that they needed help. And at the time of hearing that in the beginning, I was like, well, that's ridiculous. But then to find out later on that, you know, everyone kind of that no one's really exempt from a haunting. And it really helped me to grow and expand our horizons as a team and bringing other people in with more diverse backgrounds to better serve our clients, of both the living and the dead.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And I know we had discussed this before where, you know, you need to set up a network of different religions so that you could turn to and you know, get questions answered. Because just because you're investigating a household and the household's faith is Christianity doesn't mean that the...
Not the spirit is Christian
exactly,
as well.
Not the spirit is Christian.
And if you're trying to cleanse a house or help a house, if you go into a house where the family's Christian, but the spirit is, say, atheist or... let's go with atheist. And you're in there, and by the force of God, I command you in God's name. That spirit's just going to go, what?
Who?
You can be really pissed off spirit by the time you're done.
Yeah. And you can make things so much worse. You have to respect the family, and you have to respect the spirit. Because if the family doesn't believe, they aren't putting their energy into it. If the spirit is something completely different, the spirit's not going to respond. So you need to have multiple people with different beliefs so that you can come together and come up with a plan to help that family and that spirit.
Now, Richard in the chat room, the reason he asked his question about seeing a religious is, you know, he's been in the paranormal field for quite some time, and he had a theory that earthbound spirits were possibly all atheists who had no place to go, but we just debunked it for him.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
So.
I don't think they're all atheists. I think there could be all kinds, to be honest with myself.
You know what? You know what's good, though? When we get people together and we get to thinking, and I think that's what's lacking, again, in the paranormal community, is that people don't want to get together and communicate and throw cases around and really staff cases out with one another. Like, Marie and I do it all the time. Like, people send us messages, like, all the time, either through social media or by email, whether paranormal teams, you know, or just people who've had experiences, and we literally sit down, and if we can't help them, we refer them out to somebody else. So it's always good to, like, get other opinions, different insights, always stay open-minded in this field.
I will honestly say, being in the field myself, I grew up in a very Baptist family. I mean, I went to church, I felt like, every day. About, like, 24 hours, 7, you had to do something to do with, like, God and everything. I will honestly say, being part of the whole paranormal, you know, field and everything, it's actually, and doing all the research, I mean, I still 100% believe in God. I have my faith in God, but I have gotten out of the Baptist thing. I don't, and I'm not saying that's good, that my parents are still Baptist.
I think it's hard to conform.
I mean, it just, I don't agree with it.
So much.
I number one, I'm not a judge. I don't like judging. I mean, and that is one of my biggest things. I cannot stand anyone judging anyone.
We were recently on a radio show. What was it like? It was an AM station out here in California, and what, like, some lady called.
Yeah, she got mad at me because I said, yeah, because of my beliefs. Because one of my best friends is a Satanist. And why does that matter? I mean, you know what? And I can take them. And they said it was, like, wrong of me of taking somebody that was a Satanist on an investigation. I'm like, they're not going out there practicing what they believe. And half the time, if you actually really do the research into a Satanist, it's nothing what half of these people think.
I remember my one day finding my way into the satanic temple.
Oh,
and I was scared shitless, dude. I was like, oh my God, we're never getting out of here. And I ended up having like a 2-hour conversation. 2-hour conversation with these people, intelligent conversation, to where we literally, no one fought, nobody was finger pointing. We kind of made fun of each other. And, like, we learned about the other person's culture and, like, where they all came from and their whole standpoint and ours. And then them wanting to know, why the hell did we even want to know? And it's like, well, I don't want to pass judgment to anybody. Tell me what you guys are all about. And, like, I've read this and I've researched this, but what is it all about? And then you see that there's like multiple groups of that that do obviously vastly different things. But in your mind, growing up, you know, like me growing up Christian, I used to be an ordained reverend. Like you're told a certain way that these things are how they are, and they're all the same way. And it's not true. But open mindedness is just so, so important.
And when I was in my while after high school, holy shit. My mother opened a bookstore, and one day bored, there's the Satanic Bible. And when you actually look at the Satanic Bible, there's a lot of positive energy in that book. So, you know, there's good and evil with every
book,
every group of people, every religious book. And, you know, it's just a matter of finding the positives.
And people try to shift those. I mean, we as, you know, the people of this world for, you know, like thousands of years, we've always tried to alter scriptures and text, whether it doesn't matter what religion you are. There's always like 10 different sides to each viewpoint. And then so there's radicals, you know, then there's the traditionals, you know, but it's like that with everything. And, you know, you learn a lot, though. But if you really want to serve people in the paranormal community, both living and dead, it's so, so important to have your hand kind of in a little bit of everything. I'm not saying you have to practice these things by any means, but just to understand it.
And respect it. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, I, like I said, my,
you don't have to agree with
yeah, I don't 100, I don't agree with my best friend, but to be honest with you, I respect him on what he does and what he believes in.
There ain't no arguing.
I mean, there's no arguing, and he respects mine. So, I mean,
right.
I don't see why you can't do that in, you know, real life.
It's a great
everything.
Resource to have when dealing with those types of clients and helping to alleviate their problems. I say this often, like, I mean, we had literally a lady call that she was saying that there was a demon inside of her house, and she proclaimed her allegiance to Satan and all these things. And as youngster in the paranormal community at that time, I was like, well, no kidding, no shit, you know. But then when really looking into it and like really what was going on, that, you know, it was just vastly different. So it's amazing when the deeper you dig into these different cultures or religions and whatnot, it's definitely enlightens you quite a bit.
And it is definitely something that you need, that needs to be looked into, and you definitely, you know, give valid points when you say that you need to talk to other people of other faiths, you know, get their understanding, so that when you go in, you not only can you understand what's going on a little bit better, but you're also able to say, okay, you need to, I can't help you because this isn't my belief, but I do have somebody who's in this belief that could help you and be able to turn them over to that.
And like us, they have a diverse team with members who all have different beliefs.
Right.
And your and my beliefs are different from Amy's,
mm-hmm.
which are different from Stevens. And so it's
different
good to have that diversity on your team.
Absolutely. And you know, that's a huge thing if you're looking to find out what, you know, what's going on or what's causing these hauntings or how, if you're
right.
in a residential situation, how to help people.
Absolutely. That's what we feel.
Don't get me wrong. It took many years of
failing
and then finally, and that's why I always say, Jay and I enjoy all the opportunities we've gotten in the paranormal by doing all the TV shows and being able to go to all these different conventions and meeting up with people like you guys are doing, you know, going to all these conventions, meeting new people, new paranormal investigators, you know, other ones that have been on TV. I mean, you, and even somebody that's never even investigated that went there to the event and you learned something from them. I love
mm-hmm.
that. I mean, and that's why I said having an open mind as a paranormal investigator is probably your best thing because you can learn every day something else. So,
well, another huge problem is the people always acting as if they know everything. And the reality is we're all learning in the field together. Now, some might be at a different educational level, if you will, as far as like being more involved in the field. It doesn't mean you can't learn something from somebody else that has less time in the field. Maybe they've had different exposures, different experiences. that lend to their, you know, opinions and philosophies or data collection. So, I mean, it's just really like you have to kind of look at yourself as not finished ever, because you're never really going to get all the answers you want. We're all going to die, and we're still not going to have those answers that we want.
Exactly.
I'm hoping I better get those answers after
maybe
I die.
When we cross over, maybe then, but probably not here. I hope so.
But it's, you know, those are important. And Marie, you made an excellent statement that you could learn from somebody who's brand new in the field, because you can.
Yeah.
We do all the time.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And it is, and it's, you know, we're blessed, you know, that we're able, you know, that, you know, our team is so well received, and we're able to go out to all these different places and, you know, talk to people and do some lectures and meet these people. And that's what it's all about. And just to exchange, you know, ideas and stories and,
yep.
mm-hmm.
you know, collaborate on what is really going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are no answers. And if we don't start sharing our evidence or our experiences, or, you know, yes, we do need to be a little bit more controlled in, you know, the experiment part of it, but so that
Absolutely.
We could go back and, you know, retest and try it in different locations and, you know, try to capture lightning in a bottle. But, you know, that's the only way
right.
we're going to expand, and the only way we're going to understand.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that there's too much judgment a lot of times in the paranormal community, where I'm this, I'm that, I'm better, or I done this, or I'm jealous. Or, you know what? I just think that's all nonsense. I mean, come on, just live your life, move on. I mean, Jay and I even have haters. I mean, you know what? And
yeah.
and you become not friends one moment, you're not friends the next
and
moment.
And I don't lose any sleep over it at all.
I mean,
right
it's, you know what?
I
actually have a real life. I have an autistic son. I have another son that's going to senior year. I mean, I think that's real life, and that's enough drama. I don't, you know, I'm just not going to let all this get me down. And I always tell people, you know what? If that's what your life is about, then live it. I'm not going to sit there and say nothing bad about you, but go on and do your thing. So, I mean, I wish people would stop doing that stuff more, because I think if so many more people would get along, there would be so much more, you know, cooperation with everybody getting together on all these different locations that are haunted and all that kind of stuff. So it'd be, I think it'd be a more peaceful.
Well, the bottom line is that for the people that aren't in it, for both the living and the dead, and for the clients that we serve, those aren't the ones that are really, they shouldn't be in the world. If you're not there trying to help both the living and the dead, and that's your primary focus, then you should leave. And if your primary focus is to badmouth other teams across the country that you've never met before, or personalities that you've seen on television or at conferences, or, you know, the neighboring paranormal team because they stepped in your territory, I mean, get over it. You know what I mean? Start focusing about the field.
Amen.
If not, get out. You ain't got time for that shit.
Yeah. You know, it does, and it goes on and on and on. And,
yeah.
you know, I just...
You know what? Fuck them.
Yeah, it's like we just let it, you know, we just watch, and, you know, we're Switzerland. You know?
There you go.
It's
yep.
like, you got a problem with Jay and Marie Yates, well, that's great. I don't. That's your experience,
right.
not mine.
Exactly.
You know,
just don't
exactly
come
how we are.
You know, and it's like, you know, it is. It's funny because, you know, social media, as much as good it does in helping us promote what we do,
right.
it's just as detrimental to what we
oh,
do.
Oh, yeah.
It is the demon.
The double-edged sword.
Yeah.
I have an opinion question for both of you. I know that, you know, we've been talking about all these different kind of hauntings and everything. And one thing that has come up in the past probably couple of months more so than I think ever that I've, you know, we've been doing this since, you know, 20-something years. People are...
You're making us sound old.
I know, I'm showing my age. I'm so sorry. Anyway, the word demon is thrown around
oh my God.
Like confetti. And it's like,
yeah.
I'm like, you got to stop. You got to stop this. You know?
Yeah, these
and
people
so,
these people are freaking crazy,
find,
man, with that D word.
Do you find that it's been used in excess, especially in the last couple of years?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, and that's the shitty part about TV is we do a lot of shows. But and everyone always asks, like, especially Marie, they always ask her, well, don't you have any, like, loving spirits or kind spirits that you come in contact with? And Marie was always like, yeah, we got tons of those stories, but the network don't want to freaking buy it. And you guys don't want to hear that shit. You guys want to hear about the malignant spirit, the dark entity, and those couple demonic
cases. And I'm going to let you know, almost 98% of those cases wasn't a demon. I'm sorry to say, you're a bad person in life. When you die, yeah, you're probably a bad person afterlife. So I'm sorry to say this, but if you're going to be an ass in life, I mean, afterlife, you're going to be an ass. And I would say most of our cases are on TV are not demons. It's really just someone being an ass. You know?
Just nasty people, you know.
Well, now, go ahead.
Okay, I was going a totally different way, and bring it back to the beginning where you said, you know, another power couple. I want to know pros and cons of being a power couple in the paranormal.
Cons, pros, I'm trying to think. The cons are is that people think that you're conceited, that you're arrogant, that you're unapproachable, which are all far from the truth. we're completely opposite. Pros are that we get to have a larger audience and to be able to spread our message and what we're all about, and to be able to educate people.
I think she was talking about us being us together. Is that what you were asking? Or
being
like
a
couple
in the paranormal.
Well, the cons, I will honestly say, I feel like I'm around him a lot. Sorry, I loved him. I love my husband. He is my best friend. But to be honest with you, I do hate him too. that's the con. We're together. I mean, we have a family together. We have, the TV together. We have the paranormal together. I work from home. He works from home. So we're together a lot, even though we're working sometimes on stuff. But we see each other a lot. So, I think that's a con. Like, the pros, to be honest with you, I do get to be with my best friend in a way. So it's a double-edged sword.
Yes, it's a double-edged sword.
It is. Because there's moments. So I am the type that likes to have my own time.
Marie, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you find that when you're out doing cons and things like that or talking about, you know, the team, or have you ever been referred to as Jay's wife? And not who you are?
No, I don't think, not really. I don't think, I think with the team I did. Now, with our paranormal team I did, with our group, when we first started, yes, I got considered like, oh, I was Jay's wife. And I had to actually use my own vocal voice to show, hey, I'm not just Jay's wife. I'm actually Jay's boss. So, you don't need to sit there and treat me like that. Now they all know. Like, to be honest with you, Jay is the big teddy bear, and I'm the big, more or less the itch of everybody. So,
You have no filter,
I don't. I say what I want to say. If you ask me a question, I'm going to tell you the truth. Even if it's going to hurt you, I don't mean to. But you're asking me to, ask me a question, I'm going to tell you the truth. So,
don't ask.
Okay.
What was that? I'm so sorry.
Chris says, if you don't want to know, don't ask. Because a lot of times we don't know how hard people, everybody knows it's Bill and Chris Reed. And, I'll say this is my wife because I assume, and never assume, that everyone knows it's Chris. And sometimes
I get a lot of, oh, it's Bill Reed, Bill Reed. Oh, and his wife. It's like, what, bitch? I named this team.
We're pretty well balanced like that now.
I used to get, like I said, with the team, I think I got it. But with cons and like going out and like TV and stuff, I will honestly say they do say I get Marie Yates, and I mean, and I don't get Jay. I will say, hate how it always is Jay and Marie Yates. It should be Marie and Jay Yates. Whatever.
Yes, Marie and Jay Yates.
Well, it's alphabetical. It had nothing to do with male female.
Yeah, but somehow it always falls that way.
Because we're smart. We marry women whose letters fall behind us in the alphabet.
We know why we're behind them, so we should put our foot up their asses.
Mine's usually up in his ass all the time.
Well, we got a bag.
Actually, I always say I'm behind him because I usually have to catch him.
And that's important. I mean, you guys work great together, and you know we admire you so much and the work that you do. And you know, I was interested in, you know, in that question. And you know, we get asked to go.
Never one's ever asked me that. So when you asked me, I really had to think about it, and it was amazing. Thank you. And I'm giving out to you. We think of you guys that way all the time. You and Chris are amazing. And I mean, you're a power couple as well in the paranormal field. And Amy, I love her to death. She's amazing. I mean, we love how you guys are doing what in the paranormal field. And that's the reason we enjoy doing all this stuff. And I know we were so happy that you guys agreed to come to Vulture City Paracon this year as well. So, I mean, it's going
to
be fun.
We're completely jazzed.
We're so
really
excited.
Yeah.
Hey, Jay, you know.
We cannot wait to get there.
A while back when you were on the show and you said if we ever got to Arizona, we'd go to Tombstone. Just saying.
Just saying.
Because Marie hates OK Corral, and I really want to go.
You're going to have a hell of a time when you guys come out here, man. It's going to be a great time, guys. I mean, I'm so excited to be able to share Vulture City with everybody. I mean, I don't want it to be a place where just Marie and I, you know, work out of, but I want it to be a place where the paranormal can come to and kind of unite, even if it is just for a day, and kind of experience some of these things that we've been talking about for the past year. But this place, and speaking in reference of the con, you're talking about how many locations did we map out when we were in the meeting this weekend?
It was like, I can't believe. Well, there's a lot more. You got to mix them into it because they're a little bit closer to each other on some of them, but like almost like 13, 14 locations.
So you're talking about like 13 or 14 locations spread across an entire ghost town. So now when you usually go to these events, the biggest complaint is from everybody is that there's too many people all in the same spot. You have an entire town here. We just did an event there recently with 60 people, and there was no contamination from the other people in the next buildings because they're so far spaced away, or enough so that there's no contamination. So when people are coming out there, they're going to be getting a legitimate experience to investigate, and we are closing off the cap for ghost hunts to ensure that the group sizes fall around 7 or 8 people per group, per location, per rotation. So, like, it's definitely going to be a more intimate setting per location you go to, and you'll even have opportunities for individuals or couples or two people to go off into some of the smaller buildings next to some of these larger buildings that we're investigating alone and get some of that time as well. So this is a great location, tons of history. We have a brothel, a cookhouse, a bunkhouse,
Wells Fargo
building,
gas station,
the cemetery, a cemetery. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. But it's amazing. Very intelligent experiences out there, too.
It's great that you're keeping the groups smaller. I mean, there's some places that I've gotten to go investigate, and it's, you know, and they're like things that are absolutely on my bucket list, but, you know, Waverly and St. Albans and everything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you get out there and you start investigating, and you've got, you know, 30 other people in there with you. And I'm like, okay, no.
And you put together a great lineup also to come out to Vulture City, and we got about 10 minutes left in the show. So why don't you give a rundown about who you have coming out to Vulture City, the dates, the times, how they can get tickets? I mean, you got some awesome people.
Well, tickets, they're available at VultureCityParacon.com. So that's VultureCityParacon.com. But we have a lot of guests coming out. We have Sherry from Ghost Hunters coming out. We, of course, Marie and I will be there. Eric Knapp's going to be there.
Stephanie.
Is she's going to be out there. We got the Reeps coming out, so you got to come out there for them.
Yeah. We have Chris and Bill. See that, Chris?
Chris,
I put you first.
Bill. Yeah.
Thank you.
We got Mish.
We have Michelle, so we can't wait. I love her to death. I know you guys do.
She's great to investigate with.
Mike Casey.
Another good one.
Stefan. We have Dave Miller, and then we have Reiki, Christopher Reiki.
Yeah,
so, and plus we have some workshop people coming out as well. They're doing, and a lot of them are like local paranormal teams of Arizona. We thought it would be cool. To be honest with you, I know a lot of us have been very well known in the paranormal. A lot of us know a lot of our names, but we wanted to give some of the locals some shout out as well.
Very cool.
They do some amazing work. So we have some local teams coming out and stuff like that as well.
So we have interactive workshops going on with these individuals to where you can learn about dowsing, ITC technologies, EVP work, energy, all sorts of different topics. And then we have all of our speakers in our lineup of special guests that are coming out as well that are doing their own lectures of whatever they would. There'll be projection available, speakers, microphones, plenty of seating. We have a ton of vendors coming out. Looks like we're going to have a pretty good lineup of vendors out there. During the day, you're going to be able to do a self-guided tour of the entire town. So, and for those people just coming out for general admission, only $15. So with $15, you get to meet everybody, go all the workshops, and be able to do a self-guided tour. And we have gold panning going on. We're going to have horseshoe contests. Lots of lottery.
That 15 is online. At the door, it will be $20. But if we're doing St. Mary's Food Bank here in Arizona, it's a local food bank for the homeless here in Arizona. And if you bring some canned foods or anything like that, and if you're paying at the door, we will knock it down to $15 again for you.
Awesome. Out to please bring some, you know, canned
food
goods.
And if you do, and if you're already paid, you bring some canned food, you'll be entered in for raffles. So we'll have quite a few different kind of raffles. But the raffle is going to be going on. Hopefully more people will bring stuff out there for the St. Mary's Food Bank. So it's a big thing.
Very cool.
Yeah, so we have Friday night, which is going to be on the 27th. That's going to be the meet and greet where we'll have live music. We have some food. You'll be able to purchase drinks. We'll have campfire ghost stories, and you'll be able to kind of meander around the courtyard of the town before anybody else does. And then Friday we start bright and early in the morning, and we go all day until about 6 o'clock, and then we have a three-hour break until the 9 o'clock ghost hunt, which goes until 2 o'clock in the evening, or 2 o'clock in the morning.
Wow, excellent.
You've got a lot of stuff going on.
I can't wait.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Looks like I won't be sleeping all weekend.
I would recommend sleeping before you guys get here.
But we're looking forward to it. That's one of the places, and you know, we've been talking about it. No matter where we've been or what shows we've been on, you know, it just seems like such a cool place to go to, and you know, to get out, and the people that you've assembled out there is amazing, you know. So,
and what we really wanted to do when we were helping with them assemble the lineup, we didn't want it to be like celebrity top heavy. We wanted it to be like people from all backgrounds. But people, I mean, there's plenty of people out there that maybe haven't been on television but have a shit ton of knowledge. And we wanted to be able to showcase those people too, because, like I said, I mean, just because you haven't been on a show or written a book doesn't mean you don't have a wealth of knowledge to contribute to a paracon. So we didn't want it to be all about the celebrity. We wanted a little bit of mix of everything.
Plus we wanted to bring the west to the east to the west. It's pretty nice to bring you East Coast people over here to the West Coast and enjoy some time with us.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I mean, you got Chris Reed coming from the East Coast.
Exactly.
And her husband.
My husband might be coming with me. I may leave him somewhere between here and there. Honey, run in and grab me a drink out of the gas station, will you? Amy, quick, jump in the front seat. We're going.
Stephanie to be coming from the pick me up on the way. So, Eric, if you're listening, I'm taking it away.
Oh, this is going to be so much fun. It really is.
No, it's a great location, guys. I mean, like, literally, I mean, there's not a building there that doesn't have some type of activity going on, some more haunted than others. Some that we haven't even investigated that much just because the town is that big. So, I mean, we just recently, 2 weeks ago, I think we were up there and we hit the Roost, the museum area, and we had more, like, intelligent interaction in that building than I think we've had in any location we've ever been in as far as, like, K2 response to questions, REM pods going off in sequence with yes and no questions. It was amazing. Definitely cool place, definitely a lot to offer. We definitely look forward to seeing you guys, especially out there, and finally being able to get to meet you guys.
And hopefully you guys will be here a little bit sooner, so maybe we can hang out in other locations of Arizona.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we're looking forward to being out there. So once again, tell people how they can get in touch with you. We got 3 minutes. How they can get in touch with you, how they get tickets to Boulder City Paracon. If you didn't get your tickets, you better get them now.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, tickets are for the Ghost Hunt are about halfway sold out right now. So they are moving fast. This 3 months is going to move real quickly. I anticipate by the end of July, we will be probably like pretty close to getting rid of all those tickets. So, and we're very serious about closing the cap for those Ghost Hunts to make sure everyone has a good experience. So get your tickets now at VultureCityParacon.com. And if you're interested in getting a hold of Marie and I, you can find us at YatesFamilyHaunting.com. That's YatesFamilyHaunting.com. Or you can find our team at TheCopsCrew.com. And, of course, we're on all the social media platforms as well. You can reach out to us there. That's about it.
You know, as always, it's great talking with you. And, you know, this is going to be the longest 3 months I've had to wait. It's like I've been clicking this down. It's been like forever.
What do you mean the longest? You're going to sleep the whole way there.
Well, I have to. You told me I better sleep before I get there.
There you go. See? That's yep.
Well, I'm old, remember?
Oh, good night.
We're at Mid-South, and this person is up there talking to me and said, well, what year did you get started in the paranormal? And I told them, and they were like, I was born the year after that.
I don't even want to hear someone called Amy my daughter. Bitch is 8 months younger than I am.
Oh, God. Oh, crap.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to coming out to Vulture City. You know, we thank you for taking the time out of your business schedule.
Yes, thank you so much.
To come on with us tonight.
No, thank you, guys. You guys are great. It was an absolute pleasure talking to you guys.
I want to thank Marie first and then Jay. And,
yes.
It's always great to have Marie and Jay.
We're teaching them. Gosh. See? We teach our men good.
We will have Marie and Jay Yates on again sometime in the near future.
On the Chris and Bill Reach one.
Yeah, I'm right. The Chris Reap and
the
Chris Reap
show. I don't want to go on the Chris and Bill Reap show, just the Chris show.
Yeah.
Well, she said it's going to be Chris and her husband.
Chris and
I almost found a trip this weekend that said his wife.
And I was going to get one that said I'm with Chris Reap.
Someone actually went live, came over, and she knows my name, and went, look, it's Bill Reap and his wife and Amy Green.
Oh my God.
Damn, I'm getting a shirt that says his wife.
Well, it's been great talking to you.
Thank you so much.
We have Stephen Dills.
It was a pleasure talking to you guys.
You guys are awesome. We'll see you guys soon. We can't
wait.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Thank you so
much. Bye-bye.
Next week, we have Stephen Dills on with us next week. We're going to talk about his upcoming event at the Scottstown Inn, Patrick Henry's Scottstown Inn in Virginia. For that. So you can listen. You could call in and talk with Stephen or message him through the chat room. As always, thank you for listening to Paranormal Collaboration with Chris and Bill Reap. And our producer, Amy Green.
Have a great night, everyone.
Thanks for listening.
Good night.